From WILL's Illinois Newsroom, this is 217 Today. I'm Brian Moline. It's Thursday, March 18th. Coming up, putting electronic tags on the ears of livestock might help track and contain foodborne illness, but it could come at the expense of farmers and ranchers. Harvest Public Media's Jonathan All reports on the debate over radio frequency identification in animals in just a few minutes. But first, these headlines. Spring officially starts this Saturday, which for many people means gardening season. However, some Illinois cities have rules that make it difficult to grow vegetables on private property. Derek Cantu has more.
Over the past year, gardening was one hobby people turned to during stay-at-home orders. Democratic State Representative Sonia Harper of Chicago is advocating for a bill that would preserve a homeowner's right to grow vegetable gardens statewide. She says for many people, gardening is more than a pastime activity.
I represent communities that have been food deserts for decades, and we've turned to backyard gardening and community gardening to fulfill our own healthy food needs.
The proposal is part of the Institute for Justice's National Food Freedom Initiative, which recently passed a similar measure in Florida. Local government groups, including the Illinois Municipal League, which represents city governments, are against the proposal because it limits a city's power to develop zoning rules. I'm Derek Cantu.
The new Johnson & Johnson COVID-19 vaccine is beginning to make its way to Champaign County. Unlike other vaccines, the J&J version requires one dose instead of two. Brandon Moline of the Public Health Department says this vaccine is a great option.
Johnson & Johnson being a one-dose primary series is going to be a great tool for those that are vaccine hesitant or those that have been not interested in getting the two-dose options. We'll talk to our partners about best places to insert that into the community based on interest and need.
The J&J vaccine has been shown to be 100% effective in preventing hospitalization and death. It did show a slightly lower efficacy in clinical trials than the two-dose options from Pfizer and Moderna. University of Illinois disease expert Rebecca Lee Smith says the public can trust all three vaccines. Right now, the Pfizer and Moderna two-dose shots are still the primary vaccines available through local public health departments and pharmacies. University of Illinois basketball fans have been in celebration mode for the past few weeks, with the Fighting Illini making it to the NCAA tournament for the first time in 8 years. As Illinois Newsroom's Dana Cronin reports, county health officials are urging caution ahead of the tournament.
Any other year, fans would be crammed into sports bars and groups would gather for big watch parties. But Champaign County health officials are reminding people that there's still a pandemic going on. Awais Fade is the deputy administrator for the Champaign-Urbana Public Health District. He says they're seeing more cases of the more contagious B.1.1.7 variant in Champaign County, and that basketball fans need to take extra care not to contribute to the variant's spread.
This is not a normal year. This is not normal times. So we have to adapt and be smarter about how we do things, how we socialize.
If fans do want to watch the tournament, Fade says it's safest to do so outside if possible, or inside with a window opened to allow for ventilation. I'm Dana Cronin, Illinois Newsroom.
The first game is scheduled for Friday when the Fighting Illini face off against Drexel University. The University of Illinois reported 6 new cases of COVID-19 yesterday. The campus's 7-day average positivity rate is 0.07%. That's the lowest it's been since they started publicly releasing data in August. Nearly 1,400 coronavirus cases have been reported on campus since the start of the spring semester. Still to come, we'll learn about the push to use electronic tags to track livestock and why some farmers and ranchers are pushing back. That story from Harvest Public Media is next on 217 Today.
The COVID-19 pandemic has disrupted our educational systems with long-lasting consequences. I'm Lee Gaines, education reporter for Illinois Newsroom. I'm diving deep into the issues that matter to students, teachers, and families, shining a light on problems and looking for solutions. Hear what I uncover next on AM 580 and FM 90.9, or look for my stories online at illinoisnewsroom.org.
This is 217 Today. I'm Brian Moline. In Europe, electronic ear tags are put on livestock to track animals from birth to market. While proponents say it helps prevent and contain foodborne illnesses, the idea of adopting the technology in the U.S. is meeting resistance. And as Harvest Public Media's Jonathan All reports, it's creating a rift in the agriculture community.
The U.S. Department of Agriculture is supporting the idea of using radio frequency identification, or RFID tags, to track cattle that cross state lines. While that's just a toe in the water of what the technology could eventually be used for, it has livestock producers, ranchers, state departments of agriculture, and farm bureaus weighing in with widely differing opinions. Darvin Bentledge is tending to some of his cows on a very windy day on his Southwest Missouri farm. He's an independent producer and says it seems like every year prices go up, feed, transportation, medical care, while meat prices don't always respond in kind. He says he's opposed to being forced to buy RFID tags for his animals.
Purchasing extra equipment, you're going to have to spend more time. You're going to have to buy those tags, which aren't cheap. You're going to have to buy readers.
The U.S. Cattlemen's Association official position is supportive of RFID tags, but they're also quick to point out concerns, including limiting who would have access to the data they collect. Dwight Keller is a rancher in North Dakota and the Cattlemen's Health Committee chair. Keller says the metal clips with ID numbers currently in use are adequate and cheaper.
If it serves the same purpose, and let them use either or, you know, and it will sort itself out with time, you know, and it would also give producers a chance to get familiar with it.
Keller chooses to use RFID chips on his animals, but says it should be a choice, at least for now. He says the chips save him time and money in managing his herd. But even that is a point of contention in the RFID debate.
Can that technology actually keep up with the speed of commerce?
Garrett Hawkins is the president of the Missouri Farm Bureau. He says there needs to be more proof that adopting the technology is effective in quickly scanning animals and uploading information to where it needs to be. He says a neighboring state is taking the right approach.
And that's what Kansas Department of Agriculture and their sector has really been looking at technologies, looking at how animals flow through livestock markets, and can the technology keep up?
Kansas is giving out free RFID chips to accredited veterinarians to help track sick animals. But according to the department's website, at this time there is some uncertainty how far into the future the program will exist. The director of the Missouri Department of Agriculture says they don't want to see a federal mandate requiring producers to pay for technology because it could hurt family farms. But Chris Chin says there are other factors at work.
I think another thing we need to think about is the impacts that it will have on trade agreements and being in compliance with global trade regulations that are set by the WTO.
All the moving parts have created varying proposals for additional small-scale pilot programs to use RFID. But cattle farmer Darvin Bentledge thinks even pilot programs will eventually lead to a mandate because big agriculture interests will try to scare the public into thinking RFID is necessary for public health, and that cost will go to farmers who can't afford it, especially now coming off of a pandemic.
We still haven't recovered from a year ago. The prices of cattle are still not up where they were a year ago. And so that's kind of a lame excuse, but I have no doubt they'll use it, you know.
Bentledge concedes this may be the next generation's fight. He recently turned 65 and has started putting out feelers to find a young farmer to buy his land. Jonathan All, Harvest Public Media.
And finally, in your forecast, meteorologist Andrew Pritchard says cloudy and windy today with rain likely, which could be heavy at times, and temperatures falling into the mid-30s by this afternoon. That's all for today. 217 Today is produced by Olivia Butts. Reporting today contributed by Derek Cantu, Vivian Law, Dana Cronin, and Jonathan All. Music by the Kilbourne Alley Blues Band. Reginald Hardwick is our news director. I'm Brian Muldeen. 217 Today is a production of Illinois Public Media. Thanks for listening, stay safe, and we'll talk to you again tomorrow.